Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beer, is a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
Do you think people were entertained during the Great Depression, Vince?
No, I feel like during the Great Depression, as I understood it when it was first taught to me, no one smiled.
Yeah, I think it was a tough time for a lot of people.
That's why it's called the Great Depression. It's not called the Great Impression.
But there was at least one thing that people could occasionally look forward to, and that was hearing from their worldwide leader. With what, Vince?
With a fireside chat.
Ding dong dong.
That's right, folks. Not only were fireside chats a series of evening radio addresses given by FDR, the 32nd President of the United States himself, it's also a beer from our dear, dear friends at 21st Amendment Brewing.
This is just chock full of history. We've been to 21st. We featured them in season 2 with El Soli. Last year, we did Heller High Watermelon, which was a finalist for Beer of the Year.
Crazy.
These guys are great. We love them. We love their social team. We can't wait for them to hear this.
Yeah, I would love to buy the social team a beer. I'd also love the social team to buy me a beer. Let's get together. Let's be social.
Right. To do that, we'd have to go to San Francisco, where they're based. And Fireside Chat is a nice winter ale. It's 7.9%, Vince.
That is heavier than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Oh, and my goodness.
And, you know, as they describe it, this Fireside Chat winter ale is warming and delicious, as the reindeer like to say, like a hug and a kick in the rear at the same time. They start with a rich, deep, toffee-flavored winter warmer ale, and then they pick out some nice spices, some cocoa, and what do you know? They grab a spot by the fire and they crack this thing open.
It sounds perfect.
It's a little bit beyond the holiday season, but you can tell.
You know what? It sounds perfect for the winter, and I'm kind of tired of everyone just associating the holiday season with December. Okay, a lot of things that happen in the holiday season happen because it's cold out, it's dreary, there's not a lot going on. And that's still the case in January and February, sometimes even in March.
Especially where we live.
Yeah. So we will not apologize for this. Instead, we will crack.
Yeah. Let's get
cheers,
fired up. Cheers.
Nice.
Okay.
Boy. Oh, my. Oh, my.
That is a little flatter than I was expecting, honestly.
Really coats the inside of your mouth.
This is, you know what? This is reminding me of that peanut butter porter we did many, many moons ago.
Without the peanut butter, I mean, it's definitely
deep.
It's
but
like in dark trees.
But the flatness. That was never released.
I don't remember it. 21st Amendment. They've been around since 2000. They're all over the place. Voted best brew pub, best burger, best happy hour by the San Francisco Press. This is a lot. 7.9% is a kick in the ass. And I taste every decimal of that. Holy cow.
Yeah, we've done some holiday beers on the show, and they've always been very distinct. You know, I'm thinking about the Jolly Pumpkin beer we did at the end of season 2. This is not really like that. Like, this is just quite frankly, it tastes very generic to me.
Did you see the Santa Claus?
I've seen the first one.
Wouldn't that be amazing if I just walked in and was like, you see this? You see the Santa Claus?
Just anywhere?
You see this movie? It's amazing.
You walk into...
It's got Tim Allen in it.
Walk into Cook County Court.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys seen this?
So, okay. There's a scene in the Santa Claus where I believe it's... is it Dasher or Prancer? I'm not sure which one. It might have been Vixen. It's not Vixen. I think it's Dasher. The one reindeer that he takes back with him. This might be the Santa Claus 2. This is the Santa Claus 2. I apologize. But the reindeer eats all this candy, and then he's too fat to fly. This beer is too fat to drink. It's massive. I can taste all of what they're doing, and I get it. Like, it's mixed well. This is not what I was looking for. Holy cow.
Yeah, I thought as far as these types of beers go, I thought it would just have a little more flavor. And the flavor is almost dulled from the start.
Dude, this is not a fireside chat. This is like a fireside heart-to-heart that you don't want to have.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? The movie The Accountants. Like, they try to suck you in with this premise, somewhat absurd premise, that this guy who's an accountant is also a hitman. And it turns out that that is just as dull as the title suggests.
Curveball, he's on the spectrum.
Yeah. That's the only mild surprise of the movie.
That is the big curveball. They were like, by the way, he's on the spectrum. We were like, what? So what?
He's a murderer. Like, we're already...
he's an incredible murderer, and in the county, he's good with no... Like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... Not. Listen, we love 21st Amendment. We've loved a lot of the beers they've done.
It's growing on me now. Yeah. I'll be honest. It's growing on me. Now that it's had a chance to, like, really get in, it's like, I can taste it when I swallow on the back of my throat, and it's got that kind of coffee-esque feeling that I know a lot of our listeners will know. I know you won't know that, but you have a whole cup of coffee, and there's that little bit of just kind of coffee residue, I don't know, maybe just taste left in the back of your throat. I'm liking that, which I find odd, but I'm liking it.
Yeah, so you said something interesting before this started, that you thought this beer reminded you of a boarding school. Can you unpack that a little bit for me?
Well, not the beer, but like the fireside chats. For some reason, I picture fireside chats as like a luxury, right? You don't have a chat for me, a fireside chat has to be in like a very elaborate mantle with a roaring fire. You should have 24-foot high ceilings where you're at, and a chair that's back goes all the way up.
An indoor fire. Yeah. Yes. That's not going to burn down your house.
Exactly. And I feel like, in my head, those are all at boarding schools. Maybe that's from Harry Potter, but I just, for me, it screams boarding, finishing school, a fireside. So it reminds me a little of, like, again, I'll go back to Harry Potter. So what's that new one? The Leftovers?
The Holdovers, which I need to see still.
What's The Leftovers?
Leftovers is an HBO show about 3% of the world disappearing. About boarding school.
Wait a minute. So 3% of the world disappeared and we're focused on the 97% that's left over?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. We should be watching the 3%.
Well, that's the thing. You don't know what happened to them. It's kind of the central mystery.
Who cares about the
97%? Same guy who made Lost made that show, by the way.
Damon Lindelof?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's just between that and then, God, what is it? Oh, Captain, My Captain.
Yeah, Dead Poets Society. So I was going to bring that. That's easily the most famous boarding school piece of pop culture that we have. Now, I was thinking of that not only because of the boarding school thing, but like that movie is essentially a 2-hour lecture about the power of English literature. And I almost feel like this beer is kind of lecturing you about its particular taste. And your enjoyment of it is completely dependent on your taste in what it provides.
Dude, this is like I've just had a cigarette. I don't enjoy it, but I want more.
Oh, this is kind of my thing with Dead Poets Society. It's like an English teacher's wet dream. But if you don't know anything about what they're talking about, you're like, this is a pretentious movie about people that like reading books. I'm just saying.
Doesn't House's best friend kill himself in that?
Yes.
Yeah, Wilson.
I've seen it a couple times. The first time was our English teacher literally screened it my freshman year of high school. But the Robin Williams stuff is great. Like, yeah. He's really good in it. Young Ethan Hawke, it's kind of cool to see him in that spot. And I'm not shitting on the movie wholesale. I'm just saying that there's some people that's like the coolest movie they've ever seen. Other people are just like, I don't get this.
What gets a straight white man angrier? Someone talking shit about Dead Poets Society or someone talking shit about Good Will Hunting?
For sure Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, Good Will Hunting, it happened to me.
Yeah.
My cousin made the joke and I was like, whoa, hey, come on. Come on.
I got pretty upset when someone tried to tell me that The Town is better than The Departed, which is, in my mind, complete blasphemy.
I don't know, man. The Town is great. We love The Town.
I love The Town. We've talked about it, but better than The Departed? I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, that's like somebody telling you that here's a hint. The soda at the 7-Eleven is better than the soda you get at the Coca-Cola plant. That's not a good example, but it's stupid. It's like people who buy Target shit and go, it's actually better than J. Crew. It's like, I don't think so.
People that buy Lincoln Mercury's are like, this is way better than Ford, but they come from the same factory.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I would at least hear an argument about that, but...
Hey, it's not like not even the same factory. It's just more about... You want to feel good about what you're watching and what you're identifying with.
Yeah.
Not everybody can identify with, like, a movie masterpiece. Can we talk for a second about how Scorsese is just, like, on some mission to have someone die in the middle of one of his movies?
It's going to be him while he's filming.
While he's filming? Yeah, and then what are we going to get? Like, an 8-hour edition because he didn't have time to cut?
I think on top of that mission, he's also on a mission to push Robert De Niro to the brink of death. It's like, how many times can I just put Bobby in a movie?
Can you imagine? Bobby, I got this great role. It's a 3-hour and 40-minute movie. You're going to be great in it. By the way, you got to be 28 years old. And he goes, are you kidding me? What the fuck? You kidding me?
We got the technology. Morning. We're going to make you young.
Yeah.
I would love if... God. Here's a free idea for Martin Scorsese. It's a movie, it's called Young Grave Diggers.
Oh my God.
But you cast Robert De Niro and Al Pacino and you de-age them, but you make them dig a bunch of graves for the whole movie. That's what they do. They dig graves, and then when their shift's done in the morning, they hit up a bar that is open for late night shift people, and they just get after it.
And then at, I think maybe the 2-hour, 45-minute mark, he'll get to the plot.
The literal grave plot. They're gonna die.
All right, let's get moving on to something different.
Yeah, let's move this into the glass while we're doing
beautiful.
I
expect it to be chocolatey and brown, and it is.
Yes. I have something that we can pivot to unless you have something else in mind.
Well, I was just gonna let our kind listeners know that I actually don't know what either of the Roosevelts sound like.
I don't either. I never met them.
Okay. Well, I mean, but I haven't even heard one of these famous fireside chats. And I know we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And then, of course, I know Barry
A Day
Boswick.
That Will Live in Infamy?
Yeah, I know FDR American Badass, too. But that's not their voice. So I'm curious. I'd like to hear what you think Teddy Roosevelt sounds like. I'll give you what FDR sounds
give
like.
Give me
a little swap.
I'm going to do Teddy Roosevelt in Dazed and Confused. He's Matt McConaughey's character.
I love it.
You know, the thing about high school girls is I keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
Wow. Very nice. Very, very nice.
Then he hits him with a big stick at the end.
He's a disciplinarian.
Yeah.
So I think that FDR has like a, I like to think of him having like a buttery voice. And he's like, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. This is a day that will live in infamy.
He's kind of sounding
and
Irish.
We will all enjoy it. Yeah, I know. It's like it rolls.
Was he in the band She's a Inisharan?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It's either that or like this, like, this must not stand. We cannot allow anyone to step on us. Which is like annoying. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
For some reason, like, I picture people in the 1930s like talking sort of like fast and loose. And they're like, hey, what are you guys? You want the morning paper? All right, now scram. Like that was like
definitely
how it was presented. But, you know, I'm sure a president was more regal in his speech at the time.
The president was like, extra, read all about it. We got bombed.
We're going to Vietnam.
Now you sound like FDR American Badass. All right. And so I'll give you, I think that Teddy had like a very gruff, exterior, and I don't think that he said a whole lot.
He literally made that a slogan, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah, I actually think that he may never have uttered a word. I think he may be a
whole-like character. I think that if Teddy Roosevelt were dropped into 2024, he would be one of these alpha male content creators that's like telling you that he wakes up at 4 in the morning and works out for like 4 hours a day and then somehow like finds the time to like make $600,000 in the crypto market.
I don't think so at all, dude. I think he would be a very Ron Swanson-esque guy.
I think that he was always focused on people knowing that he was a man, you know?
Yeah, I agree. This is a guy who has definitely spent a quarter of his life with suspenders over no shirt.
Maybe he would actually be what Frank Thomas is in these Nugenics commercials.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just like...
Where it's like he's like on a driving range and someone's like, Teddy, man, looking good. He goes, yeah, it's all about Nugenics.
And I feel good, too.
Yeah, and then some random like golf cart girl is like, oh, Mr. Roosevelt, I've got a beer for you. Yeah, you do.
And it's Fireside Chat.
Subscribe to my Patreon with my brother, Fireside Chats.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to bat for this. Teddy Roosevelt is the Hodor of presidents. He didn't say shit. He literally just said, Hodor, 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 Hodor. That's it. So there's some ghostwriter out there. There's someone lost to history that not only like wrote for him, but also spoke for him. Because he was from this conspiracy theory might have legs. Yikes. Nope, wrong Roosevelt.
He did have legs, they just didn't work.
Yes, it doesn't matter. This conspiracy theory might have legs because I've recently come into possession of knowledge that Teddy Roosevelt was a Nepo baby.
Really?
Yes.
Who was he benefiting from?
Well, he was born very wealthy, which is basically the same thing back then.
Okay.
So
I thought you meant to say that like his relative like hooked him up with a gig.
Yeah, just like a huge amount of money.
Yeah, that happens.
So you can do whatever you want. Everybody wants to know how to be Teddy Roosevelt, where you go into solitude and wrestle bears and honestly come back with like a moose coat that you've skinned and sewed yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have probably what was the equivalent of $12,000 back then. Millions.
I mean, at least he didn't marry his cousin. That's what Baby Bro did. FDR.
Oh, FDR?
Yeah.
Eleanor was his cousin?
Yeah.
Get out of
distant.
Here.
Well, that's what they said distant. At the time.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Yeah, distant. Yeah, what they don't tell you.
I mean, like, you know, if anyone was going to fuck my cousin, you know, it was going to be me, you know? Out of respect. I got one more random aside here. I would say a modern day equivalent of the Fireside Chat in a comedic sense. You know a lot about this. Between Two Ferns.
Yeah, sure. If a Fireside Chat was designed to embarrass the person on the other end.
Right. Well, that was the 2010s slant on that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get back to our roots on this. I know I say it. I might make this just like my thing for season 4, getting back to our roots. What does this remind you of, having this beer? I think I landed on like, it's like a cigarette, truthfully.
I'm going to stick with my Dead Poets Society thing because I don't hate it, but I feel like I'm being lectured a bit with the taste, and it's just not something that I'm looking for most of the time.
I can
see people really digging it.
I literally can't stop drinking it. I tell you what, I have to up my ranking because when I had this, I was like, this is getting maybe 5 sips and then I am tossing it. I will finish this beer.
Okay, well then why don't you just announce what you're giving it to the people? What's the score?
I think I have to give it like a 3.75. No, I can't do that. 3.5 out of 5, Vince's. I can't. I have to recognize the taste.
Well, I'm going to pull a page out of Jonah Hill's playbook, and out of respect, I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5 Toms.
Yeah.
But it's not a beer I'm dying to revisit. And it's not terrible. It's pleasant enough, but it's not really hitting my sweet spot.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, 21st Amendment. 21st Century sells real treats. 21st Amendment does good stuff. They take big swings. I think this is a pretty big one here. Like I said, Not a great first impression, but I'm now hooked and we'll finish this. So.
Listen, like a true friend, we have to be honest with our friends. And we love 21st Amendment. We're all behind everything they do. This one wasn't my favorite, and that's okay.
Yeah,
I agree. I can get Hell or High Watermelon whenever the fuck I want.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Well said, Tom.
Yeah, and if you want to enjoy more of Vince and myself's fireside chats, a.k.a. this podcast,
well done.
We recommend subscribing, rating, reviewing on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please give us a review. It's been a minute since we got to read a funny one.
Yeah. I actually just had a full conversation with my work colleagues about the Tuna King. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder what he's up to in 24.
I don't know. Leave another one, Tuna King. Come back.
Maybe you got polio, bud.
Jeez, that would be tough.
Yeah.
So are we now saying Tuna King's an anti-vaxxer?
He's just going to get worse and worse as the show goes on. But until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans.
Must booze.
We'll see you later.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, it's the 20s.
Yeah.
Or the 30s. Or whenever they or whenever these guys were.
Hold on, hold on.
Hold the door. Yeah.
Yeah, my name is Terry. I chop trees down, and I've never been with a woman before.
Unless she's related to me.
Well, that's my brother. Sometimes he lets me watch.